That's good stuff right there. I was over here thinking, I've been studying about David, and we're not going to be preaching on David tonight, but I've been studying in the next chapter in David's life is him trying to bring the ark up. And as you recall, when David brings the ark up, I mean, David acts in a way that his wife says, I can't believe the king would act that way. And I'm going to be honest with you, I felt like acting in a way just now while he was singing that make many of y'all say, I can't believe Brother David would act that way. But I'm just telling you right now, that's good stuff right there. Amen. Thank you, Brother Marcus. Not only is it a good song and a good message, but it was sung well, and I praise the Lord for that. Thank God for the talents he gives us. Amen. All right, you can take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter number 1 and Matthew chapter number 1. While you do that, I'm going to make mention of a couple things. I want you to hold your place. We're going to bounce back and forth between the two tonight. I want to say this because we've been talking about it at our house. Pastor Brandon asked who was excited about those cookies. I'm going to tell you right now, I am. I've been on a little bit of a diet for the last year or so, but I'm going to break that thing tonight with them cookies and get back on it tomorrow, right? But I'm looking forward to the cookies. My wife said to me, it's going to be a plethora of cookies over there tonight, right? And for those of y'all that don't know, you think it's plethora, but I let everybody in this congregation know about a year ago it's a plethora, okay? And so anyway, I think there's going to be a plethora of cookies next door, and I look forward to eating some of them, and I think you do too. I hope you'll stay if you're here tonight and you don't plan to. We've got a lot of cookies. We've got Sister Amber and Robert's made some hot cocoa, and there's plenty of it over there, and so I hope you'll stick around and you'll get some hot cocoa and some cookies and just fellowship one with another. You say, well, I got to work tomorrow. Okay, well, it's a short week. You'll make it. You'll be okay. And so enjoy the time of fellowship with one another. I'm going to do this because I think I can, all right? I didn't know if I would because I didn't know if I could, but I think I can. And so I'm going to answer a question before I preach tonight that I know many of you have asked and some of you want to ask. And so I'm going to answer that question the best I can without making a fool of myself, okay? And so if I make a fool of myself, family, I'm sorry. But I do this for one reason and one reason only, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, to honor and glorify God. I just want to magnify, as our pastor said this morning, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And I want to magnify the Lord tonight, and I really believe that I can share something with you that I think will. So some of you are wondering about my dad, did he get saved or not? And I want to tell you what I know and what I don't know, okay? Many of you have prayed for my dad, and I mean it. Thank you so much. Some of you have prayed for weeks, some have prayed for months, some of you have prayed for years for my dad, and that means the world to me. I thought I could. I think I can. So about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I don't know, some time ago, around Thanksgiving, my dad went into the hospital. Before he went to the hospital, he asked me, the last night he was at home, we were at my mom's house, we go up there almost every Tuesday, and he asked me, he told me, I don't think I'm going to make it very long, and he said, I think I want to talk to you, I might be calling you, I want to talk to you about, you know, he said, you know, I want to talk to you, and I said, okay, I said, well, that's good, Dad, I hope you will, and I said, that's odd of you, what makes you say that, and so we had a conversation standing in his room, and we talked a little bit. And he said, you know, I've been open-minded my whole life about a lot of things. And he said, I've always felt like if you could prove it to me, I'd believe it. And he said, but I felt like I've never given this that same opportunity. He said, I feel like I've always been closed-minded to God. And he said, I think I'm interested. And he said, I got a question. And he said, now, Jesus is God's son, but he's God, right? And so that told me right then, my dad's been thinking about this thing. He's been reading some stuff that I've given him, gospel tracts that I've handed to him. And he said, so Jesus is God, but he's also God's son. And I said, Dad, I said, that's an amazing thing. And I said, it'd take longer than I've got to explain it to you tonight. And I don't even know that I can. I said, but I'll do my best real briefly to explain that to you. And I said, God, and that's what Christmas is about. I said, God manifest himself in the flesh. I said, the God of heaven came into the world as a man. And the way he came into the world as a man was through a woman, through the birth of a child. And so therefore we call him God's son because he is God's son. He was born of God in a human body. And I said, I can't understand that, and I can't even explain it, but I believe it. I said, God became a man. And I said, and so he's the God-man. And so that he's God's son. He's God in the flesh. He is God, but he's also God's son because he became a human being. And I said, does that make sense to you? And he said, that makes a lot of sense. He said, that makes some things clear. And I said, okay. I said, well, good. And I said, well, I hope you'll call me and we can talk about that. And I said, Dad, God loves you. And I said, and God will save you. I mean that. I said, God will save you if you'll just ask him. And so anyway, this was before, that was on Tuesday. I think on Thursday, my dad went to the hospital, drove himself to the emergency room and admitted him into the hospital. And he, about a week into the hospital visit, I think Pastor went and visited with him and had a good conversation with him and talked to him, witnessed to him just as clear as he could, talked to him about peace, having the peace of God. And then I testified here on Thanksgiving, the Wednesday night Thanksgiving service. So it was right before Thanksgiving. I testified that I talked to my dad also about peace and how that he could have peace with God. And anyway, so when I was visiting with him in the hospital, and I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not going to preach long tonight. I've got a short message. But I think this will help somebody. I hope it will. It helped me. And so when I talked to him, I went to the hospital to visit him. Back up a step. And I'll challenge everybody with this tonight. I challenged our teenagers right around that same time. It was right at Thanksgiving. I challenged our youth group to, we've been praying. I'd ask each one of our young people to give us one person that they wanted us to pray for as a youth group to be saved, and that we would all pray together for that person. And I said, just one individual, first one that comes to your mind or whatnot. And everybody in our youth group that was there that Wednesday night gave us a person, adult workers and then the young people. And I've still got that list at my house. And my dad was the one I gave. And so We began to pray for these people, and about 2 weeks into that, I challenged our youth group, and I said, I want to challenge you to write a letter. I said, you know, God wrote a letter. God wrote a letter to us called the Bible. And I said, you know, some of you probably are like me, and it's hard to witness to someone, especially someone you love. Sometimes they're the hardest people to talk to. And I said, I would challenge you to sit down and write a letter. I said, take time and think it through and write a letter to that loved one or that friend or whoever it is and tell them what's on your heart. Tell them that you love them. Tell them what they mean to you. Tell them what they are to you. And then tell them how to be saved. And so I challenged them to do that. Well, I took the challenge myself, and so I did that. I sat down. I wrote my dad a couple-page letter, just talked about our relationship a little bit, and then I got into the salvation clear as I could give it to him in my own words. And this, I'm telling the God's honest truth, my family could testify. I took my five children with me to the hospital to see him because I thought it might be the last time they'd see him. And I took that letter with me. Well, no, I actually went the time before with the letter, and then I took them back. But when I took the letter with me, and I was sitting down, I was talking to him, and he literally said to me, he said this to me. I said, Dad, have you thought any more about what we talked about at the house Tuesday night? And he said, I have. And he said, man, why don't you write me a letter? In your own words, what I would have to do if I wanted to be saved. And I said, you know, Dad, I said, that's funny. I said, I did. And I said, I've actually got it in my pocket here. And he said, are you serious? And I said, I'm dead serious. I said, I wrote you a letter. It's in my pocket. And so I took it out, and I said, it's right here. I said, I want to give it to you. And he said, no, man, don't give it to me now. He said, take it home and put it on the dresser at the house. And I said, Dad, I said, no, I want you to take it. I want you to read it. And he said, no. He said, man, I want to cherish it. I want to read it. And he said, if you give it to me now, they're going to throw it away. Because you know how it is at the hospital. You got the tray. He was like, it's going to get mixed up. They're going to throw it away. And I don't want that to happen. So you take it home. And I said, Dad, I really want you to read it. I said, you don't know if you're going home. He said, I'm going home. I'm going to be fine, man. This ain't it. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I want you to take this letter. You'd have to know my dad. Some of you do. Can I get a witness, Brother Calvin? Hard-headed, man. Brother Calvin witnessed my dad for a long time. He is stubborn. And so he wouldn't take it. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll take one of them things you always give me. And so I pulled a gospel track out. I said, you talking about this? And he said, yeah. And I had one of the ones that say peace. One of theirs, finding peace is a gospel track that I have. And I said, okay. I said, well, you take this, Dad. And I said, you read that. And I said, I'll take the letter home and I'll put it on your dresser. And so anyway, I took it with me. I didn't take it home and put it on his dresser. But A couple days later, he got out of the hospital for about 12 hours. He didn't make it long. They sent him home. He couldn't even walk. So I had to go up there and help him get in the house. And anyway, I helped him in the house. And when I was there, he said, "Man, I might ought to take that letter from you now. I don't think it's going to be long." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, I got it with me." And so I gave him the letter. And so that he was at the house that day and wasn't there long, and ended up my mom having to call the ambulance to come back and get him. He was just not in a good way. And so they took him back to the hospital. I'm taking a longer version than I thought, but I'm going somewhere with this. I promise you, when I get to where I'm going, I hope it's going to help you tonight. And so he took the letter. He went back to the hospital, and then he never came home after that. He went to the hospital for a while. Then they moved him to the nursing home up in Standardsville. And so I went up there last week, and I think I told somebody this morning it was Friday, but after I thought about it, it was actually Thursday. Thursday I went up there, and I really thought it might be the last time I see my dad. And so I went up there, and my kids made some letters for him and some pictures, and I took them to him. And anyway, I talked with him, and I said, "Dad," I said, "have you thought any more about what we talked about?" And he said, "You mean about receiving the Lord?" He said, "I did that." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "What do you mean by that?" And he said, "Well, I did what you said." He said, I asked him to forgive me, and I asked him to save me. And I said, "Okay." And he probably could tell by the look on my face that I was just, you know, elaborate a little bit. I guess it's human nature. And I said, "Well, what do you?" And I stood there, and he said, "Well, what do you do? I don't have to keep asking, do I?" And I said, "No, you don't." I said, "You don't have to ask but once if you mean it." And he said, "Well, I mean it." And I asked him, and he said, "I don't have to recite every bad thing I've ever done. I know I've done a lot of bad things. I'm a sinner." And I said, that's all you got to realize. And he said, "Well, I did that. And I'm at peace with it. And I did that. I received him as my Savior." And I said, "Okay." Well, I said, "I'm glad to hear that, Dad." And I said, "Can I pray with you?" And he said, "Yeah, you can pray with me." And so I prayed with him, and you know, he held my hand, and when we got done praying, he said, "Amen." Which, if you don't know my dad, all these things are big, okay? These are big things for my dad. And so, anyway, I don't know my dad's heart. And I left out of there. I'm encouraged. I believe God answers prayer. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe God will forgive sin. And I think it's as simple as, in my letter I wrote to him, I told him, "Dad, I don't want to make this more complicated than it is. It's as simple as believe and receive." That's what you got to do. You got to believe in your heart and receive and forgiveness, and God will save you. And so, as far as I know, people ask me, "Did your dad get saved?" By his words, he did. And so I praise the Lord for that. I want to say this, and then I'm going to get into my message, because this is where I wanted to go with it. You know, I left out of there, and I was encouraged. I truly was. I was thankful that my dad told me that he got saved, and I honestly have peace in my heart about it. I mean, for my dad to say those things, I've tried many times, and he is one of those people who's very stubborn. He doesn't say things he doesn't mean, and I don't think he would have just said it so that I'd feel good about it because he was getting ready to die. I think he genuinely, after he even talked to my mom before he went to the hospital, he apologized to her for some things that he's done through the years, told her that she was way better than he deserved, and that he was just been a bad person. He wishes he could change some things, but he couldn't. That's a man that's on the road to repentance right there. And he told me in the hospital this. He said, "You know, I'm not bitter anymore." And my dad's been a bitter man his whole life. He said, "I'm not bitter anymore." He said, I realize that I'm in this situation because of my actions. I put myself here. And I'm not angry about that. I accept that. I'm at peace with that." And I said, "Well, I'm glad you are, Dad." I said, "You're right." I said, "You know, that's the facts." And so anyway, so the next day, and then I'll be done. I'm going to get into my message. Friday, that's how I know it was Thursday. My dad told me that. Friday, I went to work, and my coworker, we were talking about it. He asked me, my coworker's been praying for my dad. And one of my coworkers asked me about, he knew I was going up to visit him Thursday afternoon, and he asked me how it went. And I said, "Well, I told him what I just told you all." And I said, and when I got done, I said this, and you'd have to know my coworker Roger. If Roger watches this, he does sometimes, he'll appreciate this, maybe, I don't know. But Roger's just, he's a blessing. And I said, I told him, and I said, Roger, I said, you know, after I got done saying that, I said, Roger, I just can't believe, I said, God would, you know, save somebody. And before I could get it out of my mouth, he said, he saved me, brother, and he saved you, and you wasn't no saint. And I said, that's right. I said, I know that, Roger. I said, good night, man. I said, that ain't even what I was talking about. I said, he didn't even let me finish. I mean, he saved me. He saved you. You wasn't no saint. I said, I know, Roger. I said, that ain't what I was going to say. I said, I can't believe. I said, I know that God saves sinners. I ain't forgot where God found me and how he saved me. I said, I just can't believe that God would save a man on his deathbed. And as I said that to Roger, I said, Roger, I just can't, it's hard for me to grasp that God would save a man on his deathbed. And I said, but you know what, Roger? I said, he saved that thief on the cross. Man, me and Roger both had, we about pulled a David and danced before the Lord right there in that house we were standing in. And I mean, we was having us a preaching session. I said, Roger, that thief was getting ready to die. His very last breath, he said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And he said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Can I tell you, brethren, I don't know that there's a greater act of mercy and grace in all the world that the God of heaven, not will he just forgive a man of sin, wicked sin, a life of sin. He'll forgive that man of that sin to the very last second that he's got breath in his body. That's our God. That is our God. Isn't he a wonderful God? I started thinking on that thing, and I thought, good night, you talking about mercy. God will let a man be stubborn and hard-headed and wait to his very last breath and give him grace and save him. Now, I don't say that for you that are sitting here tonight, and maybe you think, well, I'm going to wait till my last breath. You might not get it. God was gracious to my dad, giving him that opportunity. Not everybody gets it. But I'll tell you this, if you're breathing tonight, you've got it. As long as there's breath in your body, there's a God that'll forgive you. That's amazing. No wonder the songwriter said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You know, that would save a wretch like me anytime. On the deathbed, God will save you. And so I just take comfort in knowing, you asked me, many of you asked me, did my dad get saved? Well, by his testimony, he did. And so I praise the Lord for that. And I'm gonna go on his word, and I'm gonna go on this word right here, and I'm gonna plan that one day I'm gonna see my dad again. And so I praise the Lord for that promise that we have in Christ. Amen. You're in Luke chapter number 1, I think, or Matthew chapter 1, and I'm gonna preach to you tonight on this thought. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. I was thinking about that, and I sometimes struggle, if I'm honest with you, seasonal holiday and big events, 4th of July, Veterans Day. I struggle sometimes with the special day messages, okay? And if some of you that teach, you understand this, you feel like you just need to address it, you can't ignore it, but sometimes I just feel like it's kind of forced, and I just struggle with it sometimes. I just want to kind of keep on going in the life of David. And I thought about that. I told you, I've been studying David's life, even this past week. I was like, God, if you want me to preach on David Sunday night, I'll preach on David Sunday night. It's in the Bible. It's Christmas. It's the Christmas story. It's the Bible story, right? It's Christ. We'll get to Christ no matter where we're at in the Bible. And so I thought about that, but honestly, I couldn't get any peace about it. And so I just began to think and about what God would have me to share. And this thought was on my mind, and it kept coming to my mind. And so I began to just jot down some things. And I'm not going to tell you anything tonight that you don't already know. I'm confident of that, okay? I'm not gonna teach you anything that you've never heard. Hopefully I'm just going to remind you of some things that maybe will help you tonight out of the Christmas story. And so that's what I want to do tonight. I want to talk about Christmas time. You know, if I was to ask anyone on the street, what time is it? What time of year is it right now? The vast majority of people that I would talk to would say, it's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. Everybody knows it's Christmas time, right? Well, what does that mean? What is Christmas time? What is that all about? And so I began to think about that thought. It's Christmas time. What does that mean? And I can tell you this, it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. A lot of different people have a lot of different views about what Christmas time is really all about. I want to give you a couple things tonight that I think Christmas time is about. And that's just a couple things. There's many other things, but I want to give you three things tonight that I think Christmas time is a good time to think about, right? The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. This isn't a verse that's used a lot at Christmas, but Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That's Christmas. God sent his son in the fullness of time, right? And so I want to talk to you tonight about Christmas time. Christmas time is an important time. There's a time for everything under the heaven. There's a season and a time for everything. And I thought about Christmas time, and I want to give you a couple things that I think we ought to do around this time. And so number one, I think Christmas time is this. I think it's a time of contemplation. A time of contemplation. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother David? Well, I think to contemplate, it means to think. To contemplate, it means to consider. To contemplate, it means to meditate. I know I preached this last week, and some of you that were here last Sunday night, I preached on David when he went down into the mulberry trees, and I talked about how that God told David to go down and to listen for the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees. And I said that we need to be still and we need to be silent and we need to slow down and we need to listen for that sound of God. And I want to come back again tonight. I just can't get away from that thought. And I want to encourage you this Christmas to take some time to contemplate. Take some time to consider. Take some time to meditate. Take some time to think during this Christmas season. Luke chapter number 1, look at verse number 29 if you would. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 29. The Bible says that verse 28 says, the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and it says this, it says, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. I looked up that phrase, cast in her mind, and it literally means that she began to think. She began to contemplate. She began to consider. She was trying to discern exactly what this angel was saying. You know, I don't know how long it was. Sometimes when we read the Bible stories, we just read them like they're happening so fast, and I think we miss things sometimes. Like last week when I'm reading the story about David and the mulberry trees, if we're not careful, we think that all happened just so quickly, and maybe it did, but maybe it didn't. Maybe David sat down underneath those mulberry trees for some time listening. I can't tell you how long this angel stopped. See, we live in a fast-paced world, in a fast-paced society, and we just want to ask a question, and then we want to respond with an answer. I do it sometimes. Pastor Brandon and I talk about it with young people. Sometimes we'll ask questions in Sunday school or in youth group, and when you don't get a response, you just want to give an answer because you don't want to make it awkward. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You're like, man, this is getting awkward. Hey, sometimes maybe it needs to get awkward. Sometimes people need to think. Sometimes people need to contemplate. Sometimes people need to consider what's being said. And so I don't know how long it was between the time that this angel spoke to Mary and this angel spoke again. But in verse 28, he said, Hail thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this was. And the Bible says, and the angel said unto her, I don't know how fast the angel said that to her. He might have said it immediately. Maybe Mary just immediately when that angel spoke, her mind started working like yours does and like mine does, and she started to cast in her mind and think about what she was going to say. But maybe that angel didn't respond right away. Maybe that angel gave Mary a little time to think about what was just said.
I don't know, I can't say, but I know this. The Bible says that she cast in her mind, she thought about it. She contemplated it. And then look over in Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. The Bible says after that the shepherds had come to Mary, in verse number 18 it says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things. And that word means that they were in awe, they were in amazement. Honestly, I believe it could even mean that they thought about it. They contemplated it. But they wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. In verse 19 says this, but Mary kept all these things, and look at it, and pondered them in her heart. You know what that word pondered means? Look it up in a Strong's Concordance. What you'll find that word pondered there in verse number 19, it literally means to contemplate. It means to consider. It means to meditate. It means to think. I just believe that Mary, during this Christmas story in the Bible that we always recite and that we read, I want you to understand that Mary was doing some thinking. Mary was contemplating. Mary was considering some things. Mary was meditating upon some things. If you turn to Matthew chapter number 1, many of you know where I'm going here. Matthew chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 20 of Matthew chapter number 1, well, verse number 19, it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, look at it, was minded. He had a thought about putting her away privily. He thought about putting her away privately so nobody would know. But verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, that same word, while he thought on these things, if you look that word up in a Strong's Concordance, that word thought is the same Greek word as pondered. While he contemplated these things, while he considered these things, while he thought on these things, while he meditated upon these things, the angel of the Lord showed up in Joseph's life. And so the Christmas season is a season, it's a time where we ought to contemplate some things. It's a time of contemplation. You see, in the Bible, in the Christmas story, what you're going to find is some people thinking about some things, meditating on some things. Matthew Henry said about this verse, many of you know Matthew Henry, that commentator, he said about this verse in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 19, he said, meditation is the best help for memory. Meditation is the best help for memory. If we want to remember something, you know what we got to do? We got to meditate on it. We got to think about it. You know what some of you need to do this Christmas? You need to meditate. And I don't mean, yoga, okay? I mean, I'm talking about thinking. I'm talking about contemplating. I'm talking about considering. I'm talking about sitting down and sitting still and slowing up in the midst of all that's going on this Christmas season and taking some time and being still and knowing that He is God. It's not easy. I preached it last Sunday night. It's not easy. Some of you probably, after last Sunday night's message, made a vow to yourself, I'm going to be still and know that He is God. And before you could even sit still, your phone rang. Before you could even sit still, that email came through. We live in a world that's trying to constantly grab our attention. We get in the vehicle and we turn on the radio. Everybody's walking around. I meant to say this last week and I didn't. Everybody's walking around with earbuds in. Everybody, everywhere, especially the younger. I know some of you older people ain't. Y'all walking around with hearing aids. No, I'm just saying. That was wrong right there. Hey, I need them, okay? I just ain't got them yet. I'm desperate need of them more than anybody else. Y'all got y'all's versions of earbuds, and the young people got their version. Oh, I shouldn't have said y'all. We got our version of earbuds, and they got their version of earbuds, right? But I done lost some of you right there. I shouldn't even said that, right? That was wrong, right? I can say it because I'm one of you, okay? That's, you're allowed to when you're in the crowd, okay? But no, people walking around with these earbuds in all the time. I'm guilty of it. I go to work. I got my earbuds in. I'm listening to a podcast. I'm listening to a sermon. I'm listening to music. And you know, I've just been thinking this past week, the past 2 weeks really, I've been thinking about how important it is sometimes to just turn off the noise and be still and know that He is God. This is a busy time of year. The parties, the get-togethers, the family gatherings, the cookies, the cocoa, right? All that stuff. And if you're not careful, you won't take time to contemplate, time to consider, time to meditate, time to think about God, about what this season really truly is all about. We're real good at the slogans. We know the reason for the season. Do we really ever think about it? Or do we just talk about it? Do we just say it? See, sometimes we got to turn the noise off. I'm convinced that, and I'm trying to move on, I'm going to, but I'm convinced that these earbuds and what's going on in our world today is another tactic of the devil, of the enemy, and I'm thankful for them. I've learned a lot through earbuds, listening to preaching, listening to podcasts. I'm thankful that I can drown out the rock and roll and the rap and all that on the job site, and I can listen to what I want to listen to. I'm thankful for that stuff. Understand what I'm saying tonight, but I'm also just telling you, I believe we're living in a world where the devil has used technology and the devil has used this age of AI and all that's going on to just keep the sounds in our minds so we don't have time to think. I think people are trying to drown out the Holy Spirit in their lives with the sound of whatever they can hear. Just keep something in my ears so I don't have to listen to that still small voice that's trying to speak to me on the inside, that's telling me it's wrong. That's telling me I shouldn't do that. That's telling me I should do that. And if we're not careful, we'll just drown out that sound. And so this Christmas, I believe it's a good time to contemplate. It's a good time to consider, to meditate. So number one, Christmas is a time of contemplation. Number two, Christmas is a time of courage. You know, one of the things the biggest time I ever learned this was last year during Vacation Bible School. Our theme was Let God. Was that last year? This year? This past year. Yeah, let God. Amen. They run together. Amen. And I preached on Mary. The night I preached it to our youth, I preached on Mary about let God. And I preached about Mary's surrender. And I remember that when I preached on how that Mary surrendered, she let God work in her life. She surrendered. She said, so be it unto the handmaid of thy Lord. And I really emphasized how much courage that took. Can I tell you the Christmas story is full of courage? Do you understand what it meant for Mary? Do you understand what it meant for Joseph? For Mary, this young lady, to be with child and she's not married. I know that in our society that's still not completely acceptable, but it was way different in this society. Mary could be stoned. Mary could be shunned by her family. Mary had her future at stake. Mary had her family at stake. Mary had her fame, her reputation was at stake. I mean, I'm talking about doing this and following through with this took courage. Not just for Mary, for Joseph not to put Mary away, for Joseph to take Mary as his wife and to put himself in this situation, it was an act of courage. Sometimes we don't think, when we think about the Christmas story, how much courage was involved in all that was happening. I mean, we could talk about the wise men. We could talk about the shepherds. We could talk about Herod and wanting to kill all the babies. And we could talk about the environment of the world in that day. I'm telling you, the Christmas story is a story of courage. And Christmas time is a time for courage. You know what the Bible says in Luke chapter number 2? I think you're there. Look at verse number 10. The angel said unto them in verse number 10, fear not. Fear not. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 30. The angel said unto Mary, he said unto her, look, fear not. Fear not. If you were to turn to Matthew chapter number 1, I won't have you do it, but if you were to turn to Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 20, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find the angel of the Lord speaking to Joseph. And you know what he says? Fear not. Fear not, Joseph. Why? Because there was a lot to be afraid of. The angel was saying, don't be afraid. Fear not. You know what that means? That means have some courage. You know, I don't even think that the angel was saying, don't have any fear, as much as he was saying, have courage. You know, I thought about this. I don't know that it's so, but I think that it is. You know, you can't really have courage without fear. It's impossible. Courage is not the absence of fear. We've all heard it. I don't know who it's been given to. There's different people that claim this quote, but courage is not the absence of fear. It is obedience in the presence of fear. You see, courage is not having fear. Courage is doing what you're going to do in spite of fear. That's courage. Man, I've been watching, and if you don't like this, you don't agree with this, you just pray for me, all right? But I've been watching, Meredith and I just started a couple weeks ago watching The House of David, and we binge watched the first season. I'm telling you right now, when David got ready to go slew that giant, boy, I was ready to dance before the Lord. I'm gonna break out. It's gonna break out on me soon. I'm telling you right now, I told Meredith, I said, I am fired up. Have any of y'all seen that? How many of you seen that? Raise your hand. Okay, only a handful of you. All right. I'm telling you right now, when he was going out, he said his brothers come to him and they said, man, what are you doing? You know, I mean, they even quote some Bible verses. And they said, why are you not afraid, David? And he said, I am afraid. As he was walking towards Goliath, he looked at his brother and he said, I am afraid. He said, but have y'all forgot? Has everybody in this country forgot who God is? And man, I'm telling you right now, it was a movie, but I was getting fired up. I was like, that's what I'm talking about, David. Have we forgot who God is? And that's what's happening here in the Christmas story. God, the angel's saying, don't be afraid, Joseph. God is with you. Don't be afraid, Mary. God is with you. Don't you be afraid, you shepherds out in the field. God is with you. That's the story of Christmas. It's a story of courage. I don't know what you need courage for this Christmas, but I'm just telling you, if you'll contemplate some things, if you'll consider some things, if you'll meditate upon some things, I'll tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get some courage. See, some of you need courage this Christmas to witness to that loved one. Some of you need courage this Christmas. Some of you young people, you know what you need? You need courage to write that letter. And if you'll contemplate, if you'll think about what Christmas is really all about, the fact that the God of heaven came and dwelled among men, that God manifest himself in flesh, and he was robed in a body, and he came and he lived a perfect life, and he died in the place of sinful men. If you'll contemplate that thought, I'm telling you right now, it'll give you the courage you need to sit across that Christmas dinner table and tell that person, I love you. And better yet, Jesus loves you. I'm telling you, there's some people here tonight that need some courage this Christmas. And you want to get some courage this Christmas? Then contemplate. Think about the Christmas story. Think about what it really is all about. Think about what that really meant when Jesus, when the fullness of time was come, that God sent his son into the world. When you really began to contemplate that, I'm telling you right now, it'll boil up some courage in you. And there's some people here tonight I just know need some courage to confront some things. We talk a big game, but sometimes we just want to run from our fears. But God wants us to be courageous. The Bible message over and over in the Old Testament is, be thou courageous. Be not afraid. God told Joshua, be not afraid. Be thou very courageous. All through the Old Testament, God was telling his people, fear not. Have courage. Rise up. And I'm encouraging you tonight, this Christmas season, make it be a time of courage. A time of contemplation. Number two, a time of courage. And number three, and I'll be done, a time of celebration. Look at Luke chapter number two. Luke chapter number two. I can't even read these. When I read these verses right here, some people read them like, is it Linus? Which one of them reads it? Linus, okay, thank you. Y'all seen me looking at my wife, right? Y'all don't watch the Peanuts Christmas? See, everybody, when I said, was it Linus, I should have got a big hearty amen right there. Y'all knew where I was going with that, right? But you read this, sometimes you hear Linus. I don't. I don't hear Linus. I read this. When I read this story, I read it like, and maybe it's just my personality, I read it like it's happening. Like in my mind, when I'm reading this, I'm in verse number 10. Well, verse number 9, I say, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It's like it's building and it's building and it's building. And there's no amount of words that can even express the amount of celebration that's being said right here. He says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 13, it's like it just broke out on them. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. It's like I was during that song right there. That angel was telling them what was about to happen in the city of David, that a Savior was about to be born. And those angels in heaven were like me on this front row right here. They just couldn't contain themselves anymore. And the Bible says that a multitude of angels just burst out in heaven. Look at it. It says, and suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, look at it, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Isn't that exciting? I mean, am I the only one that gets excited reading that? I'm telling you, that was a big deal right there. I'm talking about the heavens opened up. I wonder how many it was. I wonder how much that multitude of heavenly hosts. See, I think sometimes we've seen so many Christmas plays in our minds that we think it was 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. I think it was a multitude. I think it was an army. I think it was a host of heaven in the skies lit up, and they said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Good will toward man. I mean, the greatest event that ever happened in the creation of time is taking place. You understand that, right? Nothing in the history of time has ever been bigger than this. I don't think it was just 3 or 4 of them. I think it was a host of heaven celebrating what was about to happen. It says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And verse number 20 says, and the shepherds returned, look at it, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They were praising God. They were glorifying God. They were celebrating that God had sent Jesus into the world. The shepherds celebrated. If you read, Elizabeth celebrated. Can I tell you, I read it this afternoon, and I thought, wow, I don't know that I've ever seen that. John the Baptist celebrated in the womb. Mary walked in and Elizabeth said, the baby just leaped in my womb for joy. Are you in Luke 1? Look at it. Verse number 44. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. John the Baptist wasn't even out of the womb yet, and he was celebrating. John the Baptist celebrated. Elizabeth celebrated. Zacharias celebrated, the angels celebrated, the shepherds celebrated, Simeon celebrated. He said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He said, thy servant can die in peace. I mean, Anna celebrated, Mary celebrated. We heard it this morning in the Magnificat. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in the God of my Savior. You see, the Christmas story is a story of celebration. It's a time to celebrate. So this Christmas, I want to encourage you, it's Christmas time. What do you do at Christmas time? I'll tell you 3 things you can do. Contemplate. Consider. Think. Meditate. Slow down and take some time. Be still and know that He is God. But not just contemplate. Have courage. Witness to that loved one that you've been witnessing, wanting to witness to for so long. Write that letter that you've been thinking about writing. Tell that person that you've forgiven in your heart, but you can't get it to come out of your lips, that you forgive them. I'm going to say that again. Can I tell you, there's somebody here tonight, in your heart you've already forgiven them. Well, you know what it would do you real good is to get it out of your heart and on your lips and go to that person this Christmas and tell them, hey, you know what? I forgive you. You say, well, they haven't asked for it. It doesn't matter if you've forgiven them. They don't have to ask for you to forgive them. Get the courage this Christmas to do whatever it is that you need to do. I don't know what you need to do. But I'll tell you this, if you'll contemplate this, that God came and dwelled among men, that God robed himself in flesh, that this Christmas story is a reality. If you'll contemplate that, if you'll consider that, I promise you this, it'll give you some courage. That God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. I don't know that there's anything in the whole world that can give me more courage than to know that God's with me. God is with me. I'm not alone. God is with me. And God is with you. And if we contemplate that, if we'll consider that, I believe it'll give us courage, and I believe it'll give us something to celebrate this Christmas. God is with us. What a reason to celebrate. You say, I don't got much to celebrate about this Christmas. I'll give you something. God is with you. God is with you. You say, well, he's not with me. I haven't been saved. I'll give you something great to celebrate. I started my message with it. You can be. You're breathing. You can be. He'll save you. Think about that. Contemplate that. Get some courage. Receive it. You know, it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to take that step of faith and believe. And then you can celebrate this Christmas. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. You can stand to your feet.